Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net.
Coming up,
a senator was having a do. You know, the that he knew someone there. We ended up there. This house, Hollywood Hills, overlooking everything. There's like,
have you got any Republicans you can out?
No, I've met some seriously big people that night, but they didn't know I was a 20-odd-year-old guy that just arrived from the airport from the UK, and I was off my face. It's Graham and Topher. Back in the day, I was the kind of guy that would have jumped on the old G&T. And I don't mean gin and tonic.
Never appealed to me. I don't know why. I think it's because I'm a control freak.
Everyone says that. Whenever I mention my... A few episodes before the one we're doing now,
yeah,
I chatted to Samantha Baines, who she's done like Crown, Call a Midwife, all that kind of stuff. She did this interview with me, and I talked about for the very first time my like chemsex. Oh, I've done it before with Greg Owen, the chemsex.
What's Greg Owen up to? I haven't heard from him in a long time.
He lives in Northern Ireland now. He moved back to Northern Ireland.
Okay, that'll be why.
He's still lovely. Yeah. He's still a strong believer in everything he was talking about on the internet for all them years. But I kind of told half of my chemsex story to Greg, but I was holding loads back, you know, and you were just worried, like, is this going to affect my career?
I mean, I've revealed so much about myself, I'm basically unemployable.
But you're employed.
Yeah, but in the adult industry, I could never get a job, like, in a bank or...
I reckon you could get a job in a bank.
Background check.
How does it work though? So for me, they might go, we've checked the podcast out and you had a drugs problem 12 years ago, and that means you're too difficult to employ.
Or you have shown strength of character and you've overcome a hurdle, which is what you want from an employee, right? When a problem is presented to them,
yeah,
they overcome it.
Well, I'd like to think that would happen, but often it doesn't.
No, they're all wankers. I think with us, like with OnlyFans, it's tied in. The companies get away with it now because it's tied into the social media policy.
Yeah,
and it's considered as vulgar, unprofessional social media.
So if you've done it in the past or you're doing it in the present, because there's people really either.
I know somebody. I won't mention his name. He got fired from. He was working from a company, and they got him because someone at work outed him. And then they got him through the caveat of the social media policy.
Right, okay.
And he's like, he hadn't done OnlyFans for like 5 years.
So 5 years later,
it's historical
they did
content,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. And they got away with it.
Oh my God.
People are really fucking scared. I'm noticing that as I get older. Like, you know, when you hit mid-30s and stuff, your friends start to become a bit more conservative. I'm kind of the opposite. I'm going the other way,
yeah,
obviously. But like, people are really scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, and I don't take it personally because I think it's more just a projection of their insecurity. Mm-hmm. You know, because sex scares people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a gay guy, like I've said before, you're only allowed to really be a hairdresser,
or camp,
a shoulder to
or
cry
camp
on.
And
yeah.
Let's and
go shopping.
Funny. Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to go shopping with anyone, by the way. If you're listening to this,
no, I don't. I don't
unless
like
you're
shopping.
Paying for it.
Do you like shopping?
I like shopping with my mother. we light Bromley up. No, we do. We do.
I know this because I lived in
the Glades.
I didn't live in the Glades, although there was one point where it wasn't too good. No, I lived in Bromley, but by the Glades, and it's lovely there. So you like to go to the Glades with your mum in Bromley?
We love it. Yeah, we spent a fortune on Saturday. We just were there.
Really?
Yeah, like a fortune.
So you do like going shopping? I hate going shopping. I hate going shopping with my mum. You like, right? Okay.
Yeah, because it's nice. Like it's our little bonding thing.
That's cute. Yeah, that's cute. My mum does madding when we go shopping. She just, I think we just kind of just fall out about stuff. I am a kind of gay that hates shopping. And I am noticing.
I love anal though.
I love anal. Yeah,
I have that. I'm that stereotype of a gay.
Well, I don't see the problem with that. The problem I've had, something I've noticed, and is my husband said this, is like, things about you don't immediately make sense to people, Graham. like they meet you and they think might be straight, and they find out that you're gay, and then they're like, "Oh,
people
well,
think the same of me."
Don't. Then they check Twitter.
No, they just look at me and they're like, "Bye, boy."
Well, I know this is going to be like, what is it? The privilege of passing, people call it, don't they? But I don't, because a lot of times I arrive in a situation, people already know I'm gay, but when they meet me, then I'm not the right kind of gay for them. Yeah. So I might be on the front foot on all of the right things, and they might be like, "Oh, if you know, 12 years ago we had a meth problem and all that." But when they meet me, I'm not enough like Alan Carr.
Mm.
You know?
With me, like, I remember people, obviously I look very gay. I couldn't look straight if I tried. But I
people
went.
People love that though. People do love that about you.
They do, but there is a bad side, like there's an annoying side. So I went to this work Christmas event, which was like everyone in the adult industry. There's this trade magazine that goes out, and the trade magazine for a Christmas party, which is all people that work on the business side.
Yeah.
And I walked in. I was wearing a t-shirt and jeans. I come straight from the office. I wasn't looking fabulous. And this girl came up to me from the industry, and she was like, "Oh my god, you're so fierce! Please help me do my makeup." And I'm like, "What?
I've just turned up.
I can't even draw in a straight line. Like, why have you assumed I can do your makeup? I can't even do my own.
I can now. Do your own. You can.
Back then, I couldn't. Then, right, yeah. I say I can now. I mean, I look like a drag queen without makeup.
Right, listen.
Without heavy makeup.
Listen, I think that for you, your look is, it's worked. It's
haunted worked. Mannequin. Like someone tried to draw Cara Delevingne from memory. On meth.
So, a friend of ours, I'm going to say their name. If I'll switch off the mics and I'll say the person's name.
Okay, he's hot.
It's beautiful. Straight.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Straight.
Yeah. And he said to me, Topher is, he's kind of attractive, isn't he? He's never said anything like that to me. And I think this guy is, I love him to bits, and he's also incredibly hot. He's a lovely guy.
Perfect teeth.
So cute. Like, not just sexy, but also really nice as well. Really
warm,
well put together.
Skin as well. Like, and he's really masculine and friendly. Yes. So, Joe, like, I know when I like men, because I talk too close to their face, and I find that when me and him talk,
to get really close.
Yeah, but I do that when I fancy someone. I don't realise I'm doing it. And then suddenly I'm like, oh shit, I'm like really in their personal. Because I become a real airhead around men when I fancy them at first. I do. I would like to think that I'm in this. No, that's not true, actually. I'm always in control. But I do have these moments where I get like really like ditzy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because I'm so fixated on them. So that they'll talk to me and I'll be looking at their top lip or something.
Right.
And I start to like move towards it. And I'm like, stop, that's creepy.
But he, I didn't see it coming. We were walking down, between King's Cross.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say what I was going to say because it gives it away. All the way down to Euston from King's Cross. And he was telling me, and I couldn't believe it. And I was looking at him thinking, what about me? But I think for some people, like,
we'd had a really nice conversation that night as well. We spoke for like an hour. Because remember, it was all of us and him and I were set on the side. Yeah, we were like chatting about life and.
Well, he's lovely like that. Yeah, but he is not someone that you'd ever imagine to say anything like that, and he never does. But for you, he was like, I think he said that he found you just androgynous enough that he found that. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, I
don't want to sound like I'm being offensive.
No, but there's no way to reply to this without sounding really arrogant. It's happened to me a lot in my life. It's just kind of been the same since I was a teenager. And it took me. It's a really weird situation psychologically to go from when you're like a bullied kid at school, the mm-hmm. gay one who's mm-hmm. not attractive, you're not dating, you have no sexual romantic interest from anyone, and then suddenly you hit puberty and boys start treating you differently. It was almost like you come back from summer,
right?
And all the boys, not all the boys, but I noticed
at school,
yeah, I noticed, oh shit, I'm being treated differently. And at first I thought, oh, they're just starting to like me now, because like we've been together, we've known each other for a long time, and it, like, regardless, they think I'm gay, like I've never caused them any problems. But then you start to realise, oh shit, some of them are kind of, oh god, I feel like such an arrogant cunt saying this.
No, go on.
But like, you, some of them are attracted to you, and I sensed it without realising what I was sensing. And my first sense was, oh, they're treating me like a girl.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't like, some of them were still fucking nasty to me. I was bullied quite badly, but there was a few who were like, I was like, wow, they're treating me.
Were they still nasty to you in front of the group, or did
some,
they?
Some,
right,
yeah.
But some of them would just, when you were on your own with them, they'd be like, like they were interested slightly.
Yeah, and like I remember once after, so after drama, we were cleaning up once because we used to have to clean up for some reason, like child labour. and Roman Catholic school, we pretty much did everything besides cook the lunch food. And I remember this guy, like I was talking to him and we were cleaning up and I looked down and he had a boner.
Right, there's a lot of that in those Catholic was like schools. I went to a Catholic school.
Yeah, I went to, all my education was Roman Catholic, yeah. So you know that.
Yeah.
And but it was suddenly like, it was, and I'm not being corny, it really wasn't, in that moment I was like, oh shit, my life has changed now. Like now I'm a potential partner, which I'd never experienced before. So it was totally new territory to me.
These men will treat me differently to before.
I remember I started to tremble and it was uncontrollable. It was like tremors.
Yeah.
And it was just that shock to my system of fuck. Like now I'm not the out freak anymore. I mean, I'm still a freak. I've always been a freak my whole life.
But they'll bring me in because they want that from me. Some of them will.
Yeah. And then it took me a long time to kind of get a grasp of what that shrugging my fingers power could be. But it did. I reached a point where it is powerful. Like if you feel like certain men will find you attractive, you can have lots of fun.
Yeah, it does change everything, that doesn't it? I think that I got to a certain age and realised that some men found me attractive.
That was a nice feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you're a gay kid.
Yeah.
And you're like
power.
Now I know what the straights are feeling at school. Like all that shit I missed out on.
I don't feel like I missed out.
I did.
Much. Well, how old were you when you first had sex?
With a girl, I was 13.
Oh, right. What about with a boy?
Oh, God. That leads into something I've just written about. So I was 19. I waited for my first boyfriend.
Right.
I was really strict about it. Obviously, I had offers and stuff because I used to dance in Soho. I had lots of sexual attention.
But you waited until that point?
Yeah, because I fell into that kind of trap of the importance of you losing your virginity. Because, again, when you come from a Catholic background, there is that purity thing in the back of your head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me wait for the right guy. I'm going to do this better than other gays. I'm going to do it with a boyfriend. You know, I'm not going to pass it out to anyone. So I met someone who I ended up in a relationship with 5 years, worst 5 years of my life.
Really?
Had sex, didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. And I was like, fuck, I don't like anal.
But a lot of people don't like sex on the first...
I didn't like it for the 5 years.
Okay.
I did it because I felt like that was your job to your boyfriend.
And so then, you bottomed out of obligation?
Yeah, because he wanted to, like, I mean, he wanted to fuck me. And I was like, I guess that's what you do when you're in a relationship. And I've obviously changed a hell of a lot. And my personality is completely different to who I was back then. And so, funny, this leads into something I've just written about. So I was with him for 5 years. Mm. We broke up. It was a really catastrophic breakup. Like, it was horrific. He cheated on me when my granddad was dying in France. When I was in France, I came back and found out immediately.
Right.
So my granddad and his girlfriend had died within a week of each other and they lived in France. And we'd gone over there just to sort out because she passed away.
Right.
And when we went over there to help him because his partner had passed away, he then died. So it was like this chain of chaos. Right, my family was just like in tatters, back and forth across the Channel Tunnel, like nothing. And then I come back to the UK, London, he's cheated. And I'm like, okay, great. So I just left him immediately because I was in such a psychological...
Yeah.
And then I was like, right, what have I always wanted to do? What can I do to treat myself? I booked a trip to Los Angeles because I wanted to do that eat, pray, love sort of thing. Like, I'm going to discover my life. I went to LA and I've got lots of friends who live in LA. So I stayed in Boyle Heights in LA, which is a really fun part of East. It's like it's known as the ghetto, but I really love it. You hear like guns going off all the time. Oh, right, it sounds like fireworks. And I'm not being dramatic.
LA is LA. It goes in different LA, doesn't it? When you get in a neighborhood that's sketchy, there's a unique kind of sketchy in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I made the mistake of getting a cab through Compton and my friend lost her shit at me. I didn't know what I was doing. Anyway, I was in LA. I got arrived. The dream holiday, everything was perfect. It really was. It was like I was being given a gift from the universe from this horrible breakup and losing two family members in such a short succession of time. And then I'm in LA. We go, I download Tinder. My friend's like, you should use it. And it was all like, you know, LA types, you know, like bleached teeth, six packs. And I'm not interested in that. I mean, I kind of am sometimes, but I wasn't, definitely wasn't back then. I was much more into like alternative guys. And then suddenly I match with this like tattooist who's covered in tattoos. He's got black slicked hair. He's Armenian. And we talk a lot. We do video calls to verify. And I go out to the Abbey, which is a really famous gay bar.
West Hollywood.
Yeah, WeHo. And I got shit-faced drunk. Because you know they free pour in LA. They don't measure like they do in the UK.
Right.
I got so drunk. And then he called me when I was in this like drunken blur. And he was like, what are you up to? Are you still out? Because I'd love to come meet you. So I walk out the front of the Abbey and it's like something from a film. It's like, because I'm on this
You already feel like you're in a film because you're in in Hollywood,
it's
aren't
surreal,
you?
Yeah,
and it's all warm as well, and you're pissed.
And he's like, "I'm going to come pick you up, or come join you guys, whatever you prefer." And me, you know, I don't recommend many people do this; it's dangerous. I'm like, "No, come pick me up. I'll come with you." So I ditch my friends, which is not good. I still apologize to them for ditching them. And he pulls up in his fucking Cadillac, and it's like something
a Cadillac. I love that it was a Cadillac.
It was beautiful.
What color was the Cadillac?
Blue, like sky blue.
Oh God.
And he picked me up and we went driving. He drove me around. Like, there's lots of traffic in LA, but he drove me around, drove me up to the Hollywood sign, all this kind of like...
He drove you up to the Hollywood sign. That's a clear sign he wants to fuck you.
Yeah.
Because that is out of the way.
And then, so bear in mind, I've been with the guy before for 5 years.
Yes.
And I didn't like anal. And I was just convinced. I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? And then we go back to his place, which is in this apartment, which is attached to his tattoo studio in Glendale.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the Armenian Quarter, from my understanding. Uh-huh. Anyway, we go back there and there's like Elvis Presley playing throughout. It's like Elvis Presley's echoing because he's got the double doors open to the studio. So it's all echoey. It's like so surreal. And I'm like, I'm either going to get murdered or about to get like the shit fucked out of me.
Mm.
And I kind of had a feeling earlier in the day that I was going to end up fucking. So I douched. I was ready.
With him or just you went?
With him.
Was it? Right.
Because we were talking constantly. I'm like, just in case I get pissed and contact him. But luckily he contacted me.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went back.
Thank God you did that.
We went back. And then, yeah, he fucked me and it was insanely good.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't, and I, bear in mind, I'd spent 5 years of my life thinking that I didn't like sex. And then suddenly this like, and it was just like, it was like literally a gift from the universe. Like this man who was sculpted,
mm-hmm.
like he was beautiful. His face is stunning. I'll show you a picture of him in a second. Black slicked hair, covered in tattoos, like big juicy, they're the kind of pecs that bounce. They've got a lot of depth to them.
Right.
So I'm like grabbing on him and I'm like, oh my God, like I fucking love this man. And we told each other we loved each other, which is, you know, just, you know, drunken bullshit. But it was really strange because I'd gone from convinced I didn't like anal.
Because you do love the person in that moment, don't you?
I definitely did. If you saw those pecs. And he's a really nice person, really kind and considerate. It was surreal. It's like, I don't know what I did to deserve it, but I'm glad I got fucked. And then... I stayed the night.
So I'll take the railing.
Yeah, I did. And then I stayed the night. And then, actually, I got really dominant with him, which I've never done before. But something switched. I'm like, I'm on holiday. Let me just be a different personality. And I put on this like persona kind of halfway during sex. And I became like a power bottom kind of thing. Anyway, that's besides the point. The next morning rolls around. I wake up, passed out in the bed. He's passed out next to me. He's like draped over me. It's like something out of a dream because he's just so fucking gorgeous. I pick up my phone. I've got like 46 missed calls.
They all think you've been murdered.
Yeah, because I've gone missing in Los Angeles. I can't believe I did that to my friends. It's so out of order.
But did you say I'm just going to go in this Cadillac with this guy?
No, I just did a total French exit. Yeah,
oh,
or Irish exit, some people call it. I should say Irish because I am Irish. And then I look at my phone and I'd left my ex November the 14th, 2013. I looked at my phone. It was November the 14th, 2014. It was 365 days to the day that I found out about him cheating because I left the day I found out. Mm-hmm. I didn't stick around. I didn't sort out paying rent for that. I just ditched, took my cat and fucked off. And I never spoke to him again.
You never spoke to him again?
Not a word. I was with the guy for 5 years. He tried to contact me. If he sent me emails, I'm like, fuck off, man. He's a weirdo. He looks like shit if you see him recently. Anyway.
I love that.
No, he does. It's so rewarding.
No, I love that
it's
when
so
that's
rewarding.
Happened in the past when someone's pushed you off in the past and then
and
then you see them and they look like
he's a
shit.
Horrible person. I hope he gets what's coming to him. He will. I do believe in karma. And then it was 365 days and it was like all these weird things. Like I'm in LA, this guy is my perfect type, the sex is insane, I'm in this like tattoo studio and it's 365 days to the day.
That's mad, isn't it? It's all of the, like, when you're there...
Unless it was subconscious, but I don't think it was.
No, I think that, like, that I can understand why that was absolutely mind-blowing. So I had, before I got my meth problem, I got into it in LA, because I used to work for a TV channel and I went over there working. And then when there was downtime and I'm on my own, I'm in a hotel in West Hollywood, I'd go on, like...
Yeah, WeHo's big for it, isn't it?
Yeah. Craigslist. Grindr didn't exist at that point. It was like Craigslist.
Oh,
Craigslist,
yeah.
So I went on this. I just heard it was a thing. And I went on this guy. So I come around. And so I did. And he was with this other guy. And so there's this guy who's not that attractive. He's pretty old, to be fair. And then it's really cute guy. So the cute guy's the bait. And then, he just starts to like go, like, do you want some of this? And I was like, oh, what is it? And then before you know, I've had some. And then the before doing that, and then after doing that, it's like the red pill scene in The Matrix, you know, it's like, at that point, there's no going back. And I was like, well, will I be okay for work tomorrow when I'm filming a TV show? Or a crew?
See, it's making me stiff. I'm getting, like, tension hearing
this. It was that, and I was up all night, and then some... Yeah, so I met them a few times, and on another one was when, like, I'd been good all weekend. We were going to film the next day, and my friends had all gone to Vegas for the weekend, driven and come back, and I was like, no, I'm going to be really good, stay in LA, do some nice things, make sure I'm fresh for Monday. Sunday night, he messages me, cute guy here, do you want to come around? So I did, and I was like, will I be okay? And he's like, yeah. And
I'm assuming it wasn't.
Well, I didn't sleep that night, and I was filming the next day. Really awkward, difficult thing to film as well. And I stayed up all night with this guy who was like a Falcon porn star, who was also, yeah. And it was insanely good. I was like, oh my God, this is
Falcon
fabulous.
Falcon had a real big moment, didn't they? We still, their dildos still sell quite well.
The dildos do, but I think Falcon as a porn brand is kind of, I mean, they mustn't be doing what they were doing, because they were the main one, weren't they? This guy was gorgeous, and we were almost like in love with each other, because it was LA and all of the...
Exactly.
Anyway, I left there with a massive fucking meth problem, essentially.
Do you think a lot of it sparked from how magic the entire situation was, and you're trying to recreate that high?
Yeah, so that guy that I went round to his place, and then there was the porn star and all that. Anyway, he became like a kind of, I don't know, I considered him like a friend for a bit. I don't speak to him anymore. And he was, turns out he was a TV producer. So I'm like, yes. And then he invites me over. And so I got fired from that job. Right?
Oh, really? Yeah. What, that day?
No. I'd been there a couple of years, and they're making changes, whatever. You know, it wasn't a continuous problem of mine, but yeah, I did. I ended up leaving that when they closed it. And he was like, oh, well, you need to make some inroads in LA, because telly. And so I flew out there with my settlement money from work, you know, when they pay you out a few months. Well, they did it that time anyway. I maybe I didn't have the money, but I flew to LA, stayed at his, and he met me getting off the plane, picked me up at LAX.
That's such a nice feeling, isn't it, when they pick you up from the airport?
So nice.
That happened to me when I came back from Mexico once, this guy.
So he gets me there. I've not slept all the way since London. I can't remember what I'd done the night before. I think I might have worked. And we get to his, and I'm like, I'm really tired, and he goes, we're going to this thing, and he gets this big pipe, this big bong out with loads of in it, and I smoke it till it's coming up my ears, and I'm so fucking high, and he goes, let's go to a senator was having a do, you know, the that he knew someone there. We ended up there, this house, Hollywood Hills, overlooking everything. There's like,
have you got any Republicans you can out?
No, I've met some seriously big people that night, but they didn't know I was a 20-year-old guy that just arrived from the airport from the UK, and I was off my face on meth. They didn't know that. And I was there, and there's like a senator.
Why can't us gays just behave like elegantly?
Well, can you imagine?
There's always some shit that's gone on. There's always something.
I'd been lined up with a couple of screen tests. He'd line me up and a chat at the agency and all that. And one of them I went to fine. And the other one, he'd kept me up all night. And he went, oh, you'll be fine. And I went, and I was just this sweaty, edgy mess. And I think they knew.
Yeah, they would know.
And at that point, I was like, fuck, what are you going to do? And I left. He introduced me to that level of drug taking. His life fell apart after he stopped hanging out with me, but I quite fancied the idea at that point of having a kind of like rich LA TV producer daddy kind of figure looking after me.
A little bit of a side note there. Anyone listening to this who's tempted by meth, just know that everyone's life falls apart.
Everyone's?
It is literally, it's just a ticking time bomb. Don't do it.
Do you want the stats on how many people end up develop a problem? Everybody that gives it a go, 25% of them end up with a life altering problem, and mine was a life altering problem that if you have to fast forward from then in 2000 and end of 2009 to 2012 October around that time, that is how long it took for me to end up losing everything and being on a psych ward and trying to take my own life. So I had everything going for me. I had radio shows, I had this, potentially thought I was really good on telly and all of that, and I lost fucking everything, and I had to go right to the bottom of the pile all over again. It was, yeah. So there's the lesson about meth. I mean, you might think you're fabulous at the time briefly, but honestly, you wait until you see what happens to you and the people around you.
Yeah, if anything feels too good to be true, it always is.
True.
Learning that now.
True.
So yeah, that's our side note about meth.
Honestly,
I've never tried it, but I don't know. I can't see myself.
Well, as you should say, yeah. We've got some imagine.
Do it live on air.
Imagine, we wouldn't shut up.
I'm too highly strung. I'd be a fucking nightmare on it. I would be an absolute nightmare.
I don't anymore. It's not for me. All right. Genuinely mean like that. That's an entertaining story, but ask anyone. It starts off fabulous and very quickly becomes very. You become like a tramp real quick.
I'm good with tequila.
It's my fave. Do you know nowadays?
And some herbal stuff, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I have no idea. but I give me a couple of drinks and that's...
Yeah, me and you do like a drink, don't we?
We do like a little drink. Little drink.
The podcast awards was...
Well, we were steaming.
Getting home was like a blur.
But didn't you have a... after the podcast awards, you had a funeral the next morning?
Yeah.
God.
I got there nice and bright and sparky and...
You left at a good point. You're not an idiot. No, we got back.
I know what I'm like. If I go past a certain point, I just won't sleep, or I'll be an absolute wreck the next day. And I was like, no, let me
no,
be
you
responsible.
Did the right thing.
But it's when that fucking fresh air hits you when you leave.
Yeah, then you kind of get sobered up.
Yeah.
So Nick had me up till fucking 4 o'clock in the morning back at the hotel. We got this hotel in Canary Wharf, and I was like, Nick, for fuck's sake, stop
was it like
talking.
The, we got ready to go to bed. The presidential suite or something.
Yeah, it was.
Nick was like, I come to this hotel, and I'm like, okay, we're going to get changed. And I walk in, and I'm like, geez.
Yeah, it was a big room.
Bougie, you know?
It was a big room. Yeah, it was. On our next episode, Charles Mariotti will be on. He'll be chatting to me for about 40 minutes. Got an exclusive with him about his new book, Brock, which has been everywhere recently. Talking about that, more about Amy as well. That's on the next Outcast World. Stay with me, this is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.